Let us worship God, let us sing to his praise and glory from Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. Psalm 121. Let us pray. Our gracious, eternal God, we rejoice to come before thy presence this morning to worship thee, and we bless thee for the sweet assurances that thy holy word brings to our hearts concerning thy nature and thy name. Thou art the watcher of Israel, who slumbers not nor sleeps, and thine ever watchful care over thy people surrounds us and protects us and comforts and assures us in the midst of all the circumstances through which we may pass. O God, how wonderful it is to know the encompassing love that surrounds us in Christ Jesus, thy Son, our Saviour. Thou art our help and our helper. Thou art our sufficiency. And thou dost give unto us in these pledges of thy love on thy holy table fresh assurance of that grace that is able to meet our every need. How should we not come with holy confidence? O Lord our God, we give unto thee our morning sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and bless thy holy name
for all that thou art to those who trust in thee. This is the day that thou hast made, O God. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because thou hast ordained it as a day of rest and refreshment and renewal and fellowship, a day when thou dost bend thy heart especially to thy children, a day in which thou dost especially seek fellowship and communion with us. Oh, we pray that thou wilt fulfill all that is in thy holy heart and intention for this day, that it should be a day of blessing and benediction. Our hearts are open unto thee, O God, and we pray that thou would come to us and disclose thyself unto us and make thyself known to us as the rich and satisfying God that thou art. Thou who dost fill the hungry with good things, do thou break the bread of life to our souls now, as we wait upon thee, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Shall we sing together hymn 168, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. 168. Once again this morning, Psalm 134, another very brief psalm, and we're going to read along with it some verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, after we read these brief verses of Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Then Luke chapter 12 at verse 35, and I'll explain the reason for reading these words later on. Luke 12 and 35, Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen, and may God bless to us these readings from his holy word. The hymn number 156, Ye servants of the Lord, each in his office wait, observant of his heavenly word, and watchful at his gate. 156. Turn to consider the message of Psalm 134. This is the last of the songs of degrees, as they're called in the authorized, the songs of pilgrimage that we've been occupied with for the last good many weeks from Psalm 120 onwards. And it is to be the last of our studies in the Psalms for the present time. We'll turn again to the remaining Psalms, 135 to 150, at another occasion. The pilgrimage Psalms, as we have been seeing, have a wide application. Whether we take them as illustrating the pilgrim journey from captivity in Babylon back to the Promised Land, which is a legitimate way of looking at them, or as the spiritual pilgrimage up from the depths of darkness and despair to the heights of spiritual communion with God, and that also has been one of the ways we've been looking at them, or the pattern of every pilgrimage from different parts of the land up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts, particularly the Feast of Tabernacles. I remind you of Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. That is the invitation to pilgrimage. And the psalmist goes on in that psalm to say, and now here our feet are standing in the holy place, the sense of wonderment that they're actually there in Zion. Now, this concluding psalm is illustrated by either and all of these differing applications. For the blessing of which it speaks is the blessing of consummation. First, as the culminating grace of the long pilgrimage from captivity. Think then of the captives returning from Babylon and finally getting to Jerusalem and standing there and singing praise to their God. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. The returned captives back in their own land, and the longed for blessing of their God is now theirs. That's one picture. The next picture, the fruition of the long journey from the blackness of despair and distress to the brightness and joy of deliverance and peace. And surely that's something that's constantly true in the experience of God's people. When we're down there in the depths, praising God is the one thing we're not able to do. We've no heart for it. But when the cloud lifts, then we can praise him once more. Psalm 42 and 43, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And here is that yet fulfilled. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. And the third picture, as the final blessing bestowed and spoken upon the departing pilgrims, having fulfilled all the joys of the feast, and now they receive a parting blessing as they prepare to go down from Zion and back to their homes. Now, this third idea may be thought to be particularly apposite today, for this is our feast day, and we also come to receive God's blessing and to bless the name of our God. And it may help us to think of this third interpretation as we look at the content of this brief but very beautiful and moving psalm. And let us look at it in that light for a while. And first of all, notice that in the first part of the psalm, the first two verses, more than one person is addressed. Bless ye, plural, the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Whereas in the second part of the psalm, the last verse, it's a single person that's addressed, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. It's suggested that when this psalm was sung in the temple service, the first part was sung by one part of the choir, and the second by the other. And that's a good enough way of looking at the psalm. After all, the psalm was designed to be sung in the house of God. Those that are addressed in the first part of the psalm are the servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. That is to say, the priests and Levites, whose charge it was to patrol the temple through the hours of night and darkness to see that all was safe and well. And that's who is being addressed. All ye servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Now, who addresses them? Some say the high priest, and that's a legitimate enough interpretation. Others think that it's the pilgrims themselves who address the priests and the Levites. Think of the great cluster of pilgrims gathered from all parts of the country to Jerusalem, thronging the temple courts. And it's they who sing this word to the priests and Levites, who have their duties and their tasks within the temple worship. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And they, the pilgrims in turn, receive the blessing from the priests as they depart from the temple and from the city on their way homewards. And very beautifully, the priests bless them not in bulk, but individually. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Now this is very beautiful. True, the congregation of the Lord come to him for his blessing. And blessedly, a congregation can know the blessing of God, as we do and shall today. But God has a care for the individual in the congregation. And it's as if the Lord was saying, yes, I will bless my whole people, but I will bless them individually. This burdened soul, that weary one, this discouraged one, this anxious one. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord knows when we as individuals are anxious in his house? Now, maybe you've come to God's house today with all sorts of burdens and cares from your home, from your family, from your work, from your circumstances. Well, God knows all about it. And he's intent on blessing you in your specific situation. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. Now, that's a great comfort. That's a great assurance. Now, I have a quotation here from one of the commentaries which has illuminated my thinking about this psalm very considerably. It tells us that rabbinical literature, the literature of the Jewish people and the rabbis, has presented and preserved a minute account of the work of the nightly patrol of the temple. Listen to this. 240 priests and Levites were the nightly guard distributed over 21 stations within the temple. The captain of the guard visited these stations throughout the night with flaming torches before him and saluted each with the words, "Peace be unto thee." If he found the sentinel asleep, he beat him with his staff and had authority to burn his cloak, which the drowsy guard had rolled up for a pillow. And the commentator adds, "We all remember who warned his disciples to watch, lest coming suddenly he should find them asleep." We may remember too the blessing promised in the Apocalypse on him who watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. Shortly before daybreak, the captain of the guard came, as the Talmud says, and I quote, "All times were not equal. Sometimes he came at cockcrow, or near it, before or after it. He went to one of the posts where the priests were stationed, and opened a wicket gate which led into the court. Here the priests who marched behind him, torch in hand, divided into two companies which went one to the east and one to the west, carefully ascertaining that all was well. When they met, each company reported, 'It is peace.' Then the duties of the watch were ended, and the priests who were to prepare for the daily sacrifice entered on their tasks." Now, that interesting rabbinic detail may well be what lies behind our Lord's words in Luke 12. "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve him. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." And the words we've just been singing, "Ye servants of the Lord, each in his office wait, observant of his heavenly word, and watchful at his gate. Let all your lamps be bright, and trim the golden flame. Gird up your loins as in his sight, for awful is his name. Watch, 'tis your Lord's command, and while we speak, he's near. Mark the first signal of his hand, and ready all appear. O happy servant he, in such a posture found. He shall his Lord with rapture see, and be with honor crowned." Now, it may well be that the long-established practice in the worship of the Second Temple lies behind our Lord's words in that reference in Luke and in other of his references. Now, as I say, it's the priests and Levites rather than the whole congregation who are therefore called upon to bless the Lord and to praise him. "Ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord." There are references we could well turn up in 1 Chronicles 9 and 33, 1 Chronicles 23 and 30, which speak of the priests and Levites being on duty day and night in the temple. Now it's the priests and Levites then, rather than the whole congregation, who are called to bless the Lord. And we, who name his name, are also, according to the New Testament, a royal priesthood. And that's a quotation from 1 Peter. Listen to these words, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's the function of God's people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness. Now, this word here in the psalm lies behind that kind of language in Peter's lips. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And you know, that after all is the climax and consummation of all spiritual pilgrimage, a praising and a worshipping community. That's what God wants and delights in. And when God blesses his people with his salvation, that's what he makes them into, a praising and worshipping community, showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But then notice in verse 2, this second emphasis, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Not only praise, but prayer. Praise in the sense of service can be outward and dead and barren. And you know, it doesn't need much spiritual insight to know when a people is truly praising the Lord. The praise of God is not a matter of volume of sound. It's a qualitative thing. And I've said often from this pulpit that you can see an awful lot about a congregation's praise. You can see people with their hymn books before them, and they're mouthing the words, but you can see very well that their thoughts are 100 miles away. They know the words by rote. They're cut like grooves into their minds. They don't have to think about them. And when they don't think about them, that does something to the praise. They're not praising the Lord. You can stand with your book, and halfway through a glorious phrase in a book, you can see somebody with his head nearly opened with a yawn. And that man's not worshipping God. That man's not concentrating on what he's saying and singing. But on the other hand, when people's hearts are in the worship, oh, there'll be plenty volume. But it's not the volume alone. There'll be a quality about it. And I think this is what is borne witness to in this second verse. Lift up your hands. And this may be the origin of Paul's phrase in 1 Timothy 2:8, lifting up holy hands in prayer. And the pilgrims, you see, are exhorting the temple officers not only to praise the Lord, but to be in communion with him. Lift up holy hands. It's the matter of prayer and worship. And notice, this is an exhortation from the pilgrims to the priests, reminding them of their proper task and summoning them to be all that they can be for God. Now, this is never out of place. And all God's servants need this. Not in terms of criticism or critical, censorious appraisal. but in terms of a longing in the people's hearts for men of God to be men of God, to be all that they can be, and their continuing constant prayer for them that they might be just that. And this bears witness to what we could very well call the danger, the very real danger of professionalism in the service of God. And there isn't a man who stands in a pulpit who is exempt from the danger of becoming a mere professional. And over a period of time, one can, of course, acquire a certain expertise in the conduct of worship and in prayer and in the announcement of hymns and in the preaching of the word. Professionalism can touch a man at all these points. And this is a prayer by the pilgrim people of God. Oh, don't lapse into professionalism. Don't regard it, you priests and Levites, as part of the job. Don't fall into the error of going through it by rote. Don't be praising the Lord with your thoughts 100 miles away. Let there be a spirit of prayer as well. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, this is a kind of prayer that is always fitting to be on the lips of God's people. Because where there is a godly praying ministry, there the church will be blessed and enriched and will be prosperous. And that's what's borne witness to here. All ye servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord, bless ye the Lord. Yes, praise his name, lead the worship. But oh, let your heart be in it. Let your heart be in touch with the God you're praising. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And that's a prayer that needs often to be on the lips of God's people in the congregation. And then verse 3, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And this is the response to the pilgrims' exhortation to the priests and Levites. The priests and Levites in turn pronounce blessing, the blessing of God upon the speakers in verses 1 and 2. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Now, notice the difference between the two words bless here. To bless the Lord is to speak well of him. When Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's using both the words. To bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to speak well of him. And that's what praise is. That's why it's far more healthy and salutary in our praise of God to be singing words that magnify him then words that speak of my problems, my needs, my hunger, my thirst. Oh, all these things are right and proper in their place. You know the hymn, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone. See, the peace and joy I sought so long, that's my hunger. But when you sing, join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore, all are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Saviour forth. Great prophet of my God, my tongue would bless thy name, speak well of him. That's worship. That's the objective, outgoing worship. Now, to bless the Lord is to speak well of him in that sense. But for the Lord to bless us is something different again. It's not for him to speak well of us. And when God blesses us, he's not speaking well of us. He's doing something to us. It is to make of us what we are not, and to give us what we do not have. Divine blessings are specific and decisive. They do something and are irrevocable. And you know, this is really why, and explains why, in that remarkable story about Isaac blessing his sons. You remember how he thought he was blessing Esau, and Jacob deceived him, and Jacob received the blessing. And later, when Esau came and protested, Jacob couldn't, as a simple matter of fact, Isaac couldn't, as a simple matter of fact, revoke the blessing that Jacob had cheated his brother of. No, Isaac said, I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. There was a conferring of something when Isaac blessed Jacob. And it was an irrevocable blessing. Now, the divine blessing is like that. Indeed, Isaac's blessing of Jacob partakes of the divine in that sense. And that's why in the great Aaronic benediction in Numbers 6 and 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, both now and evermore. That's meant to do something. In exactly the same way as when a benediction is pronounced at the end of our service of Christian worship. It's not simply the way that a service is brought to an end. It is the bestowal of blessing. It's the apostolic blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. It's something happening. It's meant to be a seal of the blessing of God on the service, not a form of words. Our blessings are only words, but God's blessings, as Alexander McLaren says, are realities. We wish good to one another when we bless each other. But he does good to men when he blesses them. God's blessings are powers. They never miss their mark. Whom he blesses are blessed indeed. And what is more, the God who blesses is the creator of the ends of the earth.
and he gives without measure. He creates new things with which to bless his children. That's the force there. It's the great Creator God who blesses his children.
Sometimes we may feel that we're in need of a blessing that nobody's ever had before,
and that may well be true. That may be the problem in your experience right now, with all the anxiety and burden that you've brought into God's house today. Well, it's the Creator of the ends of the earth who blesses. He can create new things with which to bless his children. And notice, he blesses us out of Zion. And Zion here is a particular and discoverable place to which the Israelite could get up and go. It's as specific as that. Now, the New Testament parallel here is in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Ye are come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Ye are come to Jesus. Jesus is our Zion. And that's why Paul can say in Ephesians 1 and 3, as I've quoted before, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is our Zion, and to him we come. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And notice this particularly. The blessing of the name of the Lord on our part, praising his name, leads in itself to the blessing of God coming upon the people. That's so obvious a lesson from the psalm that we might almost miss it. It's when God's people bless the Lord's name out of sheer gladness and joy and worship and thanksgiving, showing forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's that that acts as a divine catalyst, so to speak, which activates the blessing of God and brings the blessing of God upon his people. So that there's a blessed circular effect here. God's people, ye servants of God, your master proclaim, they bless the name of the Lord. And that sets into operation the divine movement, and he blesses the people. And when the people are blessed of God, they praise him the more. And the more they praise him, the more he blesses them. You see, when hearts really go out to the Lord, they are really blessed by him. And the Aaronic benediction that I've already quoted, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
both now and evermore. Martin Luther has a lovely interpretation of that, and with this I close. He refers the first blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, to bodily life and good. The blessing, he says, desired for the people that God would give them prosperity and every good, and also guard and preserve them. This is carried out still further in a manner corresponding to his exposition of the first article. The second blessing he refers to the spiritual nature and the soul, and observes, just as the sun, when it rises and diffuses its rich glory and soft light over all the world, merely lifts up its face upon all the world, so when God gives his word, he causes his face to shine clearly and joyously upon all minds, and makes them joyful and light, and as it were, new hearts and new men, for it brings forgiveness of sins, and shows God as a gracious and merciful Father, who pities and sympathizes with our grief and sorrow. The third part also relates to the spiritual nature and the soul, and is a desire for consolation and final victory over the cross, death, the devil, and all the gates of hell, together with the world and the evil desires of the flesh. The desire of this blessing is that the Lord God will lift up the light of his word upon us, and so keep it over us, that it may shine in our hearts with strength enough to overcome all the opposition of the devil, death and sin, and all adversity, terror, or despair. Well, you would agree that he hardly leaves anything out, does he? And that's what's enclosed in the blessing of God, the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee, out of Zion. Well, that's the blessing that the departing pilgrims received as they went down from the Feast of Tabernacles, with the blessing of God resting richly upon heart and mind and soul, sending them home singing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And then the priestly blessing, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. May God himself bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, we have received so much from these wonderful psalms. Our hearts are just full as we thank thee and praise thee for the richness of thy living word. We would bless thy name, O God. We would speak well of thee, for thou art a great and mighty God, thou art a wonderful Redeemer and Saviour and Friend. Blessed be thy holy name forever and ever. Amen. Now we sing our communion hymn number 311. My God, and is thy table spread, and does thy cup with love o'erflow? Hymn 311 to the lovely tune Hereford. We conclude our morning worship singing hymn 624. This is a very suitable pilgrim hymn for pilgrims who go down from the feast. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, guide, uphold you. In the old form of the tune that we're going to be singing this morning, there is a refrain with the words, till we meet at Jesus' feet. And we'll sing the refrain at the end of the last verse only. Hymn 624. God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you now and remain with you until the day break and the shadows flee away.